Hello and welcome to the Dr. Diamond Show. Today is Monday, November 16th, 2020. Today's report is going to focus on a bunch of different topics that Dr. Diamond has selected. Dr. Diamond, you have the floor.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I thought I'd go over the explosion in the cases and some predictions on where that was going, and then some comments on the vaccine, Moderna's high success rate, and the rollout, and then some of the comments Scott Atlas has been making, and mixed messaging coming from the administration, the outgoing administration. As far as the cases are concerned, the numbers are always a little bit difficult to use in projections from the weekend because they always go down on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. But Friday is usually the highest day, and Friday did set a record. It was over 180,000 cases. A few of those came from a bulk release in Louisiana, but even if you correct for that, it was in the neighborhood of 175,000. That's a record, and there's that many that are being identified, lab confirmed, then that's associated with an increase in the number that are hospitalized, and then a shortage of ICU beds, and that'll ultimately lead to a dramatic increase in the number of deaths. On Saturday, the numbers did go down as expected, but they only went down to like 157,000, so they were still the second highest behind the record on Friday. And then Sunday, they got down to 142, and today looks like they're going to come in around 150. So still very high numbers. These are numbers near all-time highs. They are all-time highs for weekend numbers. And even Monday is really a weekend number because most of these labs are reporting the numbers from the day before. So today's numbers really are Sunday data. So tomorrow will be kind of the first full day of the week. And it seems very likely that the numbers by Friday, which is generally the high for the day of the week, the numbers will be at least up to 200,000 new cases a day. Could conceivably be approaching 250,000, kind of in an exponential phase. And like I said, it's hard to read the numbers on the weekend because some states don't report on the weekend, and other states have a characteristically lower number than they have during the week. And whether that's because they haven't recorded everything or that's because not all of their locations report over the weekend because they don't have a full staff. I'm not sure what the cause is, but it's very reproducible that it happens every weekend with these dips, and they're a little bit uneven as to how big the dip is. So tomorrow should give the first readout. There's a lot of states that are having problems. They're worried that the number of cases aren't sustainable. Down in Texas, they're getting refrigerated trucks because the morgues are full. This is in the El Paso area in particular. And these various locations are saying that it's really not a sustainable level, that they're not at 100% capacity. They're moving patients around, and they're converting some of the hospital rooms to ICUs, and they're getting portable rooms in, but there's a limitation on the healthcare workers, and that creates a problem, especially if the healthcare workers start getting infected, then they're either sick and positive, so they can't work, or they're in quarantine because they're exposed to others, and probably under unusual circumstances where they don't have full PPEs on, and then they're kind of in quarantine to kind of limit the spread. But it's a dire situation because these outbreaks are pretty widespread now. And it's not like the earlier outbreaks, which were localized, and they could actually bring in healthcare workers from other areas that weren't experiencing a large increase in cases. And so it's putting on a strain because it's so widespread, and it's putting on a strain because the numbers are starting to go up. And if the ICUs get overrun with patients, then that's usually associated with a much higher death rate, that the staff really can't adequately take care of the patients. And invariably, if they keep coming in while the staff is overwhelmed, then they don't get the attention. If they have to be hooked up to ventilators, that has to be calibrated for each patient. And that's a somewhat time-dependent process. If it could take, half an hour or 45 minutes. And if they have too many patients, they don't have a half hour or 45 minutes for a single patient to optimize the ventilator. And so they're on ventilators that aren't optimized, and they don't really work that well as a result. So the situation is becoming dire. It is expected to continue to increase. Thanksgiving is coming up. States are issuing warnings. They're advising against having large gatherings. They're putting limits. Philadelphia just announced limits today on limiting size of gatherings to 10. And they are advising against drawing from multiple families that don't normally live together. And they're trying to limit travel. It's not clear how successful these requests are going to be. It may be somewhat regional. Some areas are still not all that compliant. They're getting mixed messages from the federal government saying that it's not that serious, and that masks don't work, and all kind of nonsense. And that leads to non-compliance, and that leads to spread of the virus. And so there may be regional increases. Some of the increases are already pretty obvious. The highest concentration per capita incidences are like in North and South Dakota. There's other states in the upper Midwest that are having similar problems. Wisconsin's having very high levels of cases, and other less densely populated states like Montana and Idaho are having fairly large outbreaks, as it's Utah. And these areas, especially the more rural areas, are going to have issues with transporting hospitals to facilities that can handle COVID cases. And so that's going to put more pressure on the healthcare delivery. The good news was Moderna announced that they were getting something like 94.5% success rate on their vaccine. Their data is very similar to Pfizer's data, that they had something like I think it was 94 patients that they had an outcome that these patients had tested positive for the virus, and they had a high enough number that they went ahead and took off the masking of who these patients were. And they found out that 94.5% of the patients that were positive for the virus received the placebo. They only had like 5 patients that received the vaccine and were positive. And none of the 5 had severe cases, but there were several severe cases in the placebo control, indicating that the vaccine was effective against more severe disease, although, you know, these numbers are still all pretty small, especially if you take the patients and you start dividing them up into different groups. I mean, they said there was some diversity in the positives with the placebo, and there were some more serious cases, and so they thought there was a good indication that they were going to get a positive result for the vaccine across the board. So it was very good news. They also announced that they don't really require as cold a temperature to store the vaccine, that they could be done at minus 20 degrees instead of minus 80. So they could be stored in more typical freezers that would be at pharmacies as opposed to the ultra-cold ones. But some pharmacies do have that. They mostly talked about rural areas where they would have delivery issues if the only thing they could use was the Pfizer, which required the colder temperature. The Moderna version is supposed to be able to be kept at room temperature for a little while without it falling apart. Both of these require the freezing because they're both messenger RNA based platforms, so they basically just use the sequence that encodes the spike protein. They put it in a liposome, which is kind of an artificial cell. It's got a membrane. It's got compositions based upon different lipids mixed together to make the membrane. Apparently, there's some differences in the composition of the membrane for Moderna, which is why they don't need the lower temperature. That their liposome does a better job at protecting the RNA inside at a higher temperature, and so the ultra cold freezers aren't necessary. Just a regular freezer would work. So that's a plus for distribution. As far as the distribution is concerned, though, there's still issues regarding cooperation between Biden's team and Trump's team. And it sounds like Biden's team is now going directly to the manufacturers to discuss distribution. Inaugurations on January 20th. So that's kind of when things should be starting to ramp up, that they still don't have an approval yet. The approval is expected sometime before the end of the year, and then they have a plan for distribution, Trump does. So it's a matter of just when they get started, they'll be shifting gears. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of cooperation between the groups. Trump is still holding out, claiming now in tweets that he won the election, which he did not do. There's stories about attempts to convince the Attorney General down in Georgia to disqualify some ballots, ballots from areas that have higher level of mismatched signatures. Those mismatched signatures are very subjective. It can simply be a poll worker that's disqualifying more signatures than another one. It doesn't mean that other signatures that passed in a given area are bad, and there was pressure to try to throw out all the ballots from areas with higher mismatches, and there's resistance to that. The canvassing should make little difference. They actually once the signatures are considered a match, they discard the envelope, which is where the original signature is. So the ballots they're counting are anonymous. There's no associated signatures with them, and so there's nothing they can really do signature-wise at this stage. This stage, it's just a matter of counting the ballots, and even though they're doing some hand counting, generally these types of recounts result in, at best, minor differences, like a few hundred here or there total. And the difference is, I think, 14,000. So the number is much too high to really be reversed. Biden will end up carrying Georgia, and he'll end up carrying Wisconsin, and then I'll end up carrying Arizona, although Arizona has to be within a few hundred votes to do a recount. They can't even do a recount there. And then the other areas like Pennsylvania, it's a very big number, a relatively big number. It's, I think it's something like 70,000 or something now. So the election will stand, and it's a matter of doing the transition, and so far Trump is still resisting that, holding out, at least based on his tweets, that he's going to somehow pull this out, which is just nonsense. But in any event, there could be serious damage to the rollout of the vaccine if there's no coordination. It'd be kind of like Biden starting all over again instead of continuing or coming up with a plan that will allow for it to kind of control of the distribution would switch over on January 20th, and it'd be a seamless kind of transition. So far that hasn't happened, so there's concern that there'll be unnecessary deaths due to delays in the vaccine, assuming the vaccine lives up to the initial trial data and is approved and no side effects pop up in the short term. The other problem is Scott Atlas. Scott Atlas is creating more confusion. He's kind of pushing herd immunity, which doesn't really work. It's not even clear how long-lasting the immunity is going to be, regardless of whether the immunity is due to a vaccine or the immunity is due to being infected and fighting off the infection. He's telling those in Michigan to rise up because of new restrictions that are being imposed because the virus is running rampant in Michigan again, as well as many other locations. There is concern. Tony Fauci came out and noted that he did not disagree with Scott Atlas, The Hoover Institute at Stanford has now issued a statement, and they're putting distance between themselves and Scott Atlas. They note that Scott Atlas is currently on leave from the Hoover Institute at Stanford, and that Stanford's position is that they are consistent with Tony Fauci and the CDC as far as wearing masks, social distancing, and are not, you know, advocates of herd immunity, and which is consistent with essentially the entire scientific community. Scott Atlas stands alone. He basically got the job by making comments on Fox News, which are out of the mainstream and not really supported by other reputable scientists anyway. His background is in radiology and has no background in infectious disease or virology or public health, and just is an opinionated commentator, self-described expert on whatever he's talking about based upon his analysis. And apparently Trump's analysis. But in any event, it creates more problems for the Biden administration because there'll be less compliance and more localized outbreaks in some of these areas that already are, like North and South Dakota are already number one in the world as far as the per capita rate of infections, and it's likely that that has to do with an absence of mask policies that they're trying to implement now, non-compliance with mask usage, and general adherence to the Trump talking points, which are also out of the mainstream science thinking claims that most people under the age of 50, I think he says 99.98% don't have problems, which is a number that he just made up, and it's no basis in reality. He's been saying that the improvements are right around the corner. That he's been saying that for a while. The number of cases have been going up for a while. He may be driving the number of cases because his pronouncements may lead to less adherence to the social distancing and an increase in cases. So anyway, the bottom line is there are vaccines. The vaccines will probably not be widely available till next year. The rollout of those vaccines are going to be inhibited by lack of cooperation with Trump's rollout group, with Biden's, and inconsistent messaging, which is leading to a lack of compliance and social distancing or mask usage in some of these red states that are rural and are undergoing explosions in cases now, and it's likely to get significantly worse because of the holidays. And so the vaccines really won't be in play because most of the rollout will be next year, and B, the two leading candidates are both messenger RNA, which require two injections, either 3 or 4 weeks apart. And then it takes a little while after the second injection before the host is fully immunized. So there's really a 2-month delay for full immunity after the first injection is given. And of course, that comes after the distribution. So most people aren't going to have immunity until spring or summer. And by then, the peak, at least this fall peak, which is what's growing right now, will probably be waning somewhat by next spring. And so the vaccine may be useful for controlling the virus over the summer and the fall of 2021. But the huge explosion in cases associated with this fall wave, which was predicted that the fall wave would be significantly bigger than either the spring or summer waves, which are just herald events, and that's the virus just getting started and kind of localized. Now the virus is everywhere. It's at a very high level. The weather conditions are more conducive for the virus being stable on surfaces because the air is drier and cooler, and there'll be more transmission because more people will be inside because of the weather. So the prediction is that there will get up to 200,000 cases a day this week. Conceivably, it'll get up to 250,000 per day by the end of this month. There are projections that by February 1st, the death toll may be as high as 439,000. Trump will almost certainly get credit for this, his poor messaging and lack of involvement and lack of a plan will all be cited as responsible for the tens or hundreds of thousands unnecessary deaths that should happen, have already happened to a degree, but should happen very dramatically over the next 3 or 4 months. So we'll continue with more frequent updates, but that's it for now. But the next couple of days this week will give a pretty good idea on whether 200,000 is going to be it this week or whether it's going to get up to 250,000 new cases per day. That's it.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Hammond, for the information. Listeners, please always go to retirementmx.co for all the latest information. We will continue to update as the situation holds, and we will be definitely doing these more frequently because the situation is getting very precarious. All right. Thanks.